With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the audio quality, no matter what the recording situation may be on any given week, by God, the thing spotting will not be stopped.
I gotta say, Molly, your new house sounds awesome. It does. You sound
really
good.
I hope so.
And you're in your new place, and I know that moving is stressful and horrible, and I never want to do it again, and I know I'll have to, but there's something nice about that fresh start, right?
I mean, it is kind of nice. And all year, so you get to sort of like, well, A, realize how much dust was on your stuff, but then get right. that dust off, which is a lovely feeling. And redesign and make everything, get new stuff, and it's very exciting. But yeah, so to set, should you hear a bit of room sound, it's because at this moment, I'm basically perched on a window on a little folding chair in front of a window ledge where I have a Mac and a mic stand set up because my desk is like in total disarray. It's all disarray. I moved on Friday and it's Sunday. And so it's a mess. But listen, by God, we're here.
Yeah. Rich and I were willing to give you the moving excuse and you didn't take it. You're like, no, I will be here for things. And we appreciate that.
Excellent. I considered it. I'm not going to lie. This morning, yeah. I considered it.
No, I get it.
But it's so fun. It's so fun. And we have things to discuss.
My things are food things.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, both of them.
They both are.
Thanksgiving week of you.
You're right. This is stunt programming, not by intention. But yes, our Thanksgiving special. It's a thing. actually, and the second one could be a Black Friday related one. But the first one is a food itself, and I think it's kind of a quiet thing, but pasta sales are through the roof. Everyone is buying pasta for home cooking uses.
Yep. Because I will say, none of us really know what to do with other non-perishable pantry staples. Like, I did buy a lot of beans and lentils.
Sure.
What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
But pasta?
We all know how to boil water, I hope.
Mostly. I hadn't even thought of this, but you're so right. You're so right.
This is a very specific,
like, hone in on this one thing.
Yeah, I've found a few articles that the pasta companies out there, the big ones, are booming. Like, their earnings reports are fat. They're like ramping up their factories to extrude more noodles for you, and the shelves are bare.
Extrude more noodles.
That's a sentence I never would have thought I would say.
I like that you say their earnings are fat, because also so are we from all these.
Yeah, from eating all that pasta, right?
Oh my God.
Chicago-based market research firm said the most recent data is the dry pasta category sales totaled $2.15 billion in the 52 weeks ending February 23rd, and they're already on pace to beat that.
Wow.
$1 billion industry. You should have got into pasta, people.
Dollar pasta industry. Should have put some money into Bertolli or whatever the blue box is.
You know, I should have gone and done a count, but I'm pretty sure we have about 24 boxes of pasta in our house right now.
Oh my God, really?
Well, it was one of those things where, like, back in April, I bought a 12-pack of rotini.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's half of it right there.
It's very true. I bought a fair bit, but not quite as much. But I do have one entire shelf, which I know because I unpacked it yesterday.
It's fresh and not
Which
dusty.
Is more pasta than I usually have.
Clean pasta. Yeah, we usually have like box of spaghetti and maybe something else, right? Let me say, we have all that rotini. We've used a couple boxes of that. And then we have like 4 boxes of spaghetti, some penne, some lasagna noodles, you know. Yeah. Lots of pasta.
I feel like maybe your pasta stocking up isn't that sincere. I feel like in some ways, Tom, it could be somewhat performative.
No. I was the first to stock up on pasta. I didn't see other people stocking up on pasta and then post on Twitter like, look at all the pasta I'm also stocking up on. What are you talking about?
Everyone else is performatively stocking up on pasta just to keep up with you, along with their performative outrage. This is my thing, by the way. Performative, the word.
Oh, I am so into this one. This is a good one.
Yeah. I don't know where this came from, but I do know that suddenly my child says it all the time, and it's all over the Twitter, and it just is sort of like, it has emerged as the word to describe the thing that you think is annoying.
Right.
Performative virtue signaling, performative outrage, performative like pandemic precautions. Like, it's just, I don't know where this word came from, but the first time my son said it to me, I was like, that is a fancy
You're so
word.
Right.
And whatever his usage was, I was like, and also, that's accurate. That is like, the thing that you were describing is indeed performative.
I feel like there's a whole family of the humble brag and being thirsty and like you said, virtue signaling that all sort of feed in and are being captured by the usage of performative. Because I hadn't even thought about it, but you're absolutely right. Like, that is now being thrown around not just as a description, but as an accusation, right?
Yes. And I think that's the evolution. That's the evolution of it from like interesting word. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't know, thing that occurs to thing, where it's just like, you're just being performative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tag. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And it encompasses all kinds of things. Like, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's true that the Discord is pointing out it's very blue check Twitter. Absolutely. I don't even know if it's, but yeah, exactly. Sure, right, says in the Discord, being woke for the gram. There's performative wokeness. There's performative rage. Like, there's all this stuff that's wrapped up into it. But I'm just all of a sudden hearing it constantly. And it does kind of, like, it flows quite naturally from the fact that there are certain things that people feel they must be doing on social media, like changing their icon or, you know, whatever the thing
yes,
is.
Yes, yes. It captures all that stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. Performative, if not active.
Yeah, it's a natural outgrowth of that culture, specifically of Instagram, Snapchat, where I'm showing you me, right? Mm-hmm. Look at me. And when you're saying look at me, it's natural to be like, look at me do this. And I know you're going to make an opinion about me. So I want to try to shape that opinion. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to perform the thing that I want you to think about me.
Yep, exactly. And I'm going to make sure I ostentatiously post it.
Yeah.
Because it, by its very nature, if something's going to be performative, it has to be shared and seen widely.
And the implication of calling it performative is not literally that you're just performing it. It's that you're disingenuous, that you're insincere. Yes. Yeah. That's what you're like, tagging people
that
with.
You've taken no action on a thing. You just put, you know, BLM
Twitter or even icon. If you took an action, you only took the action to get the accolade.
Yes.
Right? Like, look at me marching. And it's like, maybe you show up, take a picture and leave, right? Like, you technically did it, but it was
the influencer version of
right?
it. Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't participate sincerely.
Right. And then, and it is also, of course, morphing into, you know, misuse.
Right.
Where it's just like, look, it is not, as in fact, Aussie Lee just pointed out in our Discord, it's not necessarily performative to share your I voted sticker because A, you voted, and B,
right.
That's a good thing. But it's just, I don't know.
It's
I
how
find
you do it,
it like, it's a very fast, it's probably like too deep for our Sunday morning show, but it's a very fascinating evolution of the way we're starting to look at social media. And frankly, like, it might be kind of useful. It might be a useful conversation for us to start having. Like, what is actually real versus performative? And is performative helpful? Is it like the red ribbon awareness mm-hmm, raising? Mm-hmm. Or is it just an ongoing humble brag?
The usage of these kinds of words is pretty normal, which is they start as a light bulb. Like, I think that's just performative. And then they become a label or a tag. Mm-hmm. And then they get used. Then they get used performatively. Right?
Right.
Like, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm going to call it performative, even though it's not.
Even though
I'm going to insult you by saying, oh, sure, how performative of you.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's where I think that's what you've so totally identified is we're on that cusp now. Performative has gone from being like, hey, I think this is just performative, not real, to, oh, I don't like you, so I'm going to accuse you of being performative.
Right. Yes, totally. Thank you. That's exactly it. It is now being used to invalidate.
Right.
Yep. Ugh. Fascinating.
And there's so, I'm trying to think of good examples. The one, only one that comes to mind is sellout, which I was never good at the beginning. It was always bad, but there's a long history of us like trying to be like, oh, you think what you're doing is good, but it's not.
Right.
And that's performative. Is in a long tradition of that?
It absolutely is. Yep. It just is a new, it's just a vocabulary twist.
Well, speaking of selling out, I'm going to buy a thing. Actually, we already bought it.
Amazing, by the way. Amazing segue.
This is eyes wide open, by the way. Eileen and I looked at this pan. We're like, it's probably not nearly as good as it looks. It's all over Instagram, so we're probably getting suckered in. But let's try it. You know, we're middle-aged people who can afford to buy this pan. So why not? Let's take the ride. It's the Always Pan from Our Place, which can replace your fry pan, saute pan, steamer, skillet, saucier, saucepan, nonstick pan, spatula, and spoon rest all in one.
And?
What do you mean, and?
Do you have it yet?
No, it doesn't ship till early December. So we ordered it yesterday. But yeah, I hadn't even thought about this till just this second. It's everywhere. And it's the Instagram version of only $19.99 order now, right? Oh, like, God, it's the hipster version of, it's the pan that does everything. How much would you pay for this pan? Don't answer. Because you also get a spatula built right in.
Oh my God, it has a spatula built right in, though?
Yes, yes. It comes with its own spatula and spoon rest for the spatula.
That's really cool. I will say, I do kind of need a steamer. And then you can get like a steamer add-on. Dude, it's on sale for $99.95, normally $145.
How much would you pay? And here's the thing. I had like a quantum reaction to this. A superposition would be a better way of putting it. A superposition reaction. I looked at this and I was like, this is more hype than reality. Like, I have a steamer. I have a spatula. I have a spoon rest. Having them all built in one is, yeah, I'm not in a studio apartment. And then at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but it looks kind of cool. And it's got a little spout on the side so you can like easily pour out your water when you're done boiling. Like, I don't know. And it's ceramic nonstick. That's kind of cool. So I was, while I was saying, I think this is a gimmick, I was also saying, but let's buy it.
But I want it. And you can get like an, I mean, that is really pretty nice. Now I'm looking at the, but how, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop being sold on this thing by you at this exact moment and validate that I have seen this thing everywhere. Like, this is one of those moments where I'm just like, man, now I'm kind of annoyed that I didn't realize what a thing it is, because sometimes you can't tell what's your filter bubble.
Right.
And what is really a thing.
And,
you know what I mean?
Well, you saw that happen to me in real time in the pre-show where we were talking about something else. And I suddenly realized, wait, that pan from yesterday is a thing. I ran to the door. I was like, what's that thing called? And swapped it out for something else right before the show.
And at least, I mean, if it is a filter bubble, we have the same one, because I was like, oh, my God, this is totally a thing. I see it everywhere.
And that validates it, right? To me, is like, okay, we're triangulating now on this. It was me, Eileen, and Molly. So we got three different views. Maybe all our views are inside the bubble. I don't know, but maybe. Know, at least that's something.
I'm looking to see if Ad Porter knows about it, because if so, then that is the jam. But you can also get like a steamer to go with it, because it's got a, okay. All right. I'm going to come back to this tab later. And actually, it is very appropriate to be shopping, because apparently the new thing is just to start Christmas now. Like,
yeah,
heck with Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about the thing where the decorations show up in Costco in like August. Like, this isn't that.
That's 2 years ago. It's a thing segment. Right. This is brand new. Yeah.
This is brand new. This is basically just like, you know what? we need some holiday cheer, everyone. And so we're skipping past the whole like colonizer holiday. We're not even bothering with Thanksgiving. We are just going to try to make ourselves as happy as possible. And I cannot tell you how many photos I've seen on my Instagram of people I actually know putting up their Christmas trees now.
Performative.
Like just going straight for it. Yeah, exactly. Performative Christmas declarations. They're a thing.
And putting my always pan full of pasta underneath that Christmas tree.
I assume it's also because like nobody can really have a big, you can't, you know, no one who is following the rules can have a big Thanksgiving gathering. So that's a holiday because it depends on getting together. On some level, it's kind of like, all right, fine, we're all just skipping that one. But Christmas, you can sort of make yourself feel happy. Like you can put up lights, you can put things in your house. I don't know if people are starting Hanukkah early, but they're definitely like turning out Christmas decorations right now.
Yeah, the holiday decorations in general, right? Christmas specific or generalized. Like you say, I don't know about Hanukkah either, but just that sort of like Santa Claus, snow, and Christmas trees. I think it goes back to, remember people were putting up Christmas lights in April during the like extreme lockdown in the US? We're like, oh, we have to stay inside, but let's try to cheer each other up, put up Christmas lights. It's that feeling of like Christmas makes me happy. So I will use it throughout the year.
Like November 1st is close enough. I don't even know.
So people are chomping at the bit. They're like, Actually, when I've traveled in Europe in November, I've noticed that because they don't have the Thanksgiving holiday, they go right into Christmas after Halloween. So we're just kind of picking up that vibe a little bit, like you say, maybe there's some de-emphasis on Thanksgiving, or maybe we just don't. Or like, I'm just ready for the mythical joyousness.
The cheer. I think that's, I mean, this year, I think more than anything, it's like, I am ready for the cheer.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm getting that tree up now. Because it'd be one thing. It's like, sure, everybody starts shopping or thinking about it or maybe putting some lights up. But just going for the full on experience, like not even waiting until sort of December 1st or December 10th for the tree.
Right. When
the fact that the trees are going up already is what really sent it into a new stratosphere for me.
Well, the usual complaint is, I'm so busy. I'm running behind on getting a tree. Oh, nobody's going anywhere.
Good
right?
point.
You got time. You might as well use it getting a tree and putting up your lights.
I wonder, and I say this because my little itchy trigger fingers are already considering going to look at the prices of artificial trees. I wonder if this is going to be a really big year for artificial tree sales.
Yeah.
Because if you want
delivered.
If more and more people are wanting to put them up now, there's that. But then there's also like, I mean, I'm assuming that the, you know, tree farms are not going to be, I mean, you go outside to pick out your tree, but I wonder like,
oh, you can get you can get live trees delivered.
What?
And I know this because yesterday, after we bought the Always On Pan, or the Always On Pan, that's a show produced by my wife, starring Molly Wood. Not a pan.
You should have made a pan.
You should have. The Always On Pan. It's after we bought the pan, we said, what are you going to do about a tree? And Eileen was like, well, I don't want to go to a lot. Not that it's not safe. I just don't feel like doing it. She's like, I wonder if we can get them delivered. And so I looked, and yes, you can. Lowe's delivers trees. Home Depot delivers trees. There's several specialty shops, usually in Michigan and the Northeast, that will ship a tree nationwide in the U.S. In fact, I think it was the Spruce had a great write-up of like 5 different ways to get your Christmas tree delivered.
By the way, of course it was the Spruce.
Of course it was, right?
Dang it, now I want to get a Christmas tree delivered. All right, just slow your roll, Wood.
Yeah,
slow your roll.
So there's data point one is that yesterday we ordered a live tree delivered from Lowe's.
Thanks for the validation.
We're getting one that's in a pot so that we can plant it outside when we're done. We did that last year and it worked great. We have a
Awesome.
Yeah, we have a Christmas tree right out in front yard. I thought about digging it back up. I was like, that's probably not good for the tree to reuse it and bring it back in. But
that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Seems like it could get out of hand in a hurry, but it's a good, like for a couple years.
Well, and that's the other thing. going back to your point about the fake trees, the artificial trees, I think you're right, because a lot of people will, even if they know they could get one delivered, will not want to try to keep it alive, right? They may, yeah, not exactly, everybody's going to want to get alive like a tree that's in a pot. And then they're like, well, it'll dry out by Christmas if we get it this early. So let's get an artificial one because it'll last longer.
Right. That's why. That's exactly why I wonder, is because people have been starting. I mean, I really truly saw some of the reason that I have this on the list is because I saw some of these posts like November 1st, like really early, or right after Election Day. People were just like, fine, it's Christmas. Don't care.
There's a house on our dog walk that pretty early before Halloween puts up like giant ghosts, those inflatable ones, and pumpkins and all this stuff. And then they leave them up after Halloween because they're obviously so into Halloween. Today, when I took the dogs for a walk, they had switched to their Christmas stuff.
Yep. Totally. Yep. It's on. It is on.
Well Coyote done. Brown points Good out spot. That
Thanksgiving is also a less performative holiday.
Well, if you don't have the crowd, right. Yeah. The performative is like, look at my loving family around me. Look how much I, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
All right. Shelby wrote in with a food thing, said, hi, Molly and Tom. Birria tacos, B-I-R-R-I-A, are those amazing tacos that you dip, kind of like Mexican French dip, or French dip is like a birria taco. And they have been a thing in the Latin community for a while, of course, but they seem to be coming into the mainstream thingdom. Recently, I've been seeing several TikTok recipes and Reddit posts all about birria tacos.
Let it be. I'll take it. Yes, it birria. Please. I'm ready. I'm gonna go on a hunt for them today. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
I have not seen that, but I expect that I will now start to see them.
I will see it everywhere now that it's been pointed out.
Gary needs a thing check.
All right.
Thing check on aisle Gary. Tom, Molly, and Rich, I need a thing check on people saying stop as a reaction in conversation.
Thing almost, check.
There we go. Almost, almost in the way shut up is used in Mean Girls. Molly does this all the time. I also noticed my wife saying it, but what prompted a request for a thing check, TM, was a new coworker saying it on a team call. What say the thing team?
Stop, Gary. Of course it's a thing.
Gary, stop. Seriously, it's a huge thing. It's a super duper thing.
And I do think of you, Molly, when I hear anyone say stop. Like, you are my, I don't know. What's the
canary in the coal mine? No, I don't know. I was trying to think
the
of
the Jungian archetype of using stop in a sentence.
Oh, man. I don't even think I realized how often I say it. Oh, but you know what? You say it is a thing. I don't know.
I don't think you say it so often. It's that you say it so well.
Thanks, man. Good save.
Lisa with a new flavor thing says, hi, Tom and Molly. Great show. It has been such a happy place during these times. Is turkey dinner flavor a thing? As in, is it the new pumpkin spice?
Oh, yeah. Can I get a nailed it?
Yes, you may get a nailed it. Nailed it. There we go.
There we go.
I was trying to play that one. There.
Think check.
All right, fine. I saw turkey dinner flavor potato chips at Aldi a few days ago, by the way. Whenever I hear Aldi now, I think of our producer, Rich. So nicely done, Lisa. And then a friend posted these turkey dinner flavored candy corn from Brock's. Maybe not the seasonal flavor we need, but the one we deserve.
Yeah, I'll say. Indeed. That's
I want to try those.
Corn. But I have totally seen the turkey dinner flavored potato chips. Like Pringles might have done it first, I think.
I feel like I saw them overseas, like in Japan or something. But I don't think I've ever seen them here.
Oh, I've seen them here. My child bought a whole bunch, like 6 to 10 different kinds of Pringles because we watched a YouTube video where somebody tried all the Pringles flavors. And the turkey, I think I've seen turkey dinner other like Lay's potato chips too. Oh, yeah.
Kids definitely. And their weird flavored snacks. Tell you, that's a thing too.
That was a total thing. Oh, that reminds me of a thing that I keep meaning to do. I'm going to put it in the bullpen later. Okay. We have a new verbiage submission from Neil, who says, I humbly offer the term thingchronicity for the situation where online chess in a pandemic coincides with the release of the Queen's Gambit. Love it.
Uh-huh.
And like then on the same vein, Ben submits, love the show and the newly minted Doctor of Things credential. However, in our society where everything needs a good abbreviation, may I submit the following? THD, Why use four syllables when you can use three?
Standing THD. Ovation for Ben.
Like, THD. That is so good.
Yeah. Dr. Molly Wood, THD.
I'm just thrilled right now. I'm just thrilled.
Oh. I saw this email when it came in, Ben, and I literally shouted out loud for joy. I'm like, yes, that's it. THD. Dude,
we need
Doctor of Things. So good.
That's unbelievable. I'm so happy right now.
We had some thoughts on gummies. Jonathan wrote in, said, hi to Molly. Molly, in episode 138, you said, and I quote, I think gummies writ large have become America's preferred distribution system for basically everything. Let me think. What is it that we are soon, let's hope, going to need to distribute to hundreds of millions of Americans? What? Gummy COVID vaccines, you say? What a great marketing advantage this could be for one of these companies. Get fruity with Pfizer. Skip the injection for your protection. Choose Moderna. Moderna. Oh, G-N-A-W.
Moderna. I did not get that until you said it. That is amazing.
That's and Carrie wrote in about another gummy distribution vector. Apparently, gummies really aren't just for weed or supplements. You can make wine gummies, too. Here is a video from 3 years ago by BuzzFeed's Tasty on how to make rosé gummies.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. That's incredible.
I'm going to sell socks that say, if you can see these, I need more rosé gummies.
Yeah. Mommy needs her candy. Unbelievable.
That's
unbelievable.
That's so good.
And then our global correspondent, Allah, wrote in on global hipsters and says, Beirut used to be the hipster capital of the Arab world, but now all the nomadic bearded hipsters have migrated to metropolitan Dubai. Uh-huh. We even have hipster boomers. My friend's midlife crisis is a how-to guide for hipsters. Allah, if you just want to sneak us some photos.
Yeah.
You know, we won't share.
Blur out the face, maybe, you know.
I guess I'm not shocked that Dubai would become a hipster.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Our shout-outs this week are based on the ecology of monsters as found in the Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition Monstrous Manual.
I'm already thrilled. Here we go. Voraciously dissolving all types of carrion and trash, Lee Price is sometimes tolerated in inhabited subterranean areas for her janitorial services, but this activity is difficult to organize and is usually not appreciated by the inhabitants because of its danger.
It is rumored that metal workers of extraordinary skill keep very small Kevin sills in stone jars to etch and score their metalwork, but this is a delicate and dangerous practice.
Eric Duncan is sometimes encouraged to stay in a certain area for his scavenging abilities and is preferred over other patrons since his square shape does not allow him to slither under doors and into areas in which he is not desired.
But you're always desired here,
Eric. I know, sorry, buddy, but you're always desired here.
Attempts to find Jake Wood's lair have inevitably led back to subterranean passages where the trail is eventually lost in the deepest rock-floored recesses of the caverns. That's just the way it is.
He just, you know, he likes his cave.
Yeah.
Common Gabrielle Coens are created by the emotions of large masses of people, and great Gabrielle Coens by compilations of lesser Gabrielle Coens. The raw materials for such creatures may be found in any urban settlement, and when there is additional tension in the air, cities under siege, towns divided by rivalries or civil wars, oppressed peoples, and settlements baking under a merciless summer heat are all possible breeding grounds of Gabrielle Coen.
This just in, Lee Price is a him, not a her. Thank you, Aussie Lee, for correcting us.
Sorry, Aussie Lee.
Brad Sparks lives wherever there is a lot of heat. He prefers volcanic regions or areas with hot springs. Frequently, he shares his lair with other fire-dwelling patrons, of which I suppose we have several.
Needs to be like a sub-Discord.
That just needs to be a new level, right?
Yeah.
Like, you get the shout-out level or the fire-dwelling patron level.
Fire-dwelling patrons. Although difficult to say with certainty, evidence indicates that the Louis Saint-Amour feeds on the fury of electrical activity given off by the brains of panic-stricken individuals as they realize that death is inescapable.
I've heard that. I've heard that about Louis Saint-Amour.
Yeah. Again, yeah. Hard to prove.
Yeah. You do what you need to do to survive.
Seems likely.
On the prime material plane, Andrew Wyatt is a visitor that serves no ecological function. On his own plane, he is a gatherer, eating only stone and minerals. The empty pockets in the stone are quickly inhabited by various creatures of the plane. Plane of existence, not an airplane, just to be
clear. It's not a plane of existence. Obviously, it's Dungeons and Dragons, so it's way too deep.
Yeah.
And finally, Mike Akins carries no treasure. When one dies, it automatically drops out of the ether and materializes on the prime material plane. Of course, he is usually dismissed as platypi that died from starvation.
Mike Akins shares his treasure with us, though, and we appreciate that.
He does. We appreciate all of you, even though sometimes we wonder why you do it. Thank you for supporting us. At patreon.com/ it's a thing at every level, including the shout out level, our favorite time of the week.
Yeah, you may not be immortalized as a monster, but who knows how you will be immortalized next week. Tune in and find out.
Be anything. And of course, please, please keep the emails coming. So great.
Yeah, feedback at itsathing.me.
And we will see you next time.
We will.
And maybe I'll even have some soundproofing by then.
Through your window. Look for us.
We're out there. I don't need no man speaking lies. Got politicians to take that high.
Just beat a rhythm to the beat of life. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.